last and final speaker, well, actually, again, it's good to bring up the great, wonderful Barry Humphries, who said of Craig Brown that he's the most screamingly funny living writer in the world, which is entirely true. Many of you will know from his wonderful diaries in Private Eye, as well as being a brilliant comic writer. He has, I think, completely reinvented the biographical form in the last couple of years with two prize-winning books, Man Darling, about Princess Margaret, and 1, 2, 3, 4, The Beatles in Time. Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Brown.
Thank you very much. Another great thing that, well, I'd say another, discounting the previous thing. Barry Humphries once said, I was born with the God-given gift at laughing at the misfortunes of others, which I think is a very good thing for a satirist to be going on with. I've written this book and given it the title Haywire, because obviously every generation thinks the world, the younger world, is going mad. I mean, there's a Jacobean playwright who called his play It's a Mad World, My Masters. So it's obviously a thing with us oldies. We always think the world's going haywire. But I think maybe we've got a better case for that argument than any other generation before, because of the invention of the internet and social media. And I realized for the first time that things were going haywire because of the internet, because I was compiling a Christmas quiz. I do a variety of journalism. One of the things I was doing those days was Christmas literary quizzes for a newspaper. And I thought, well, you know, middle names of famous characters might be funny. I think I was inspired because Boris Johnson's middle name is De Pfeffel with a P. And I remember Paddy Ashdown's was Dibdin. Or is it Michael Heseltine? Michael Heseltine. Anyway, so middle names are always funny and people are always embarrassed by them. And so I thought, well, what's Jeeves's middle name? Did he have a middle name? And then I thought, well, James Bond, that'd be interesting. So I looked up on the internet. I put in to Google James Bond's middle name. And I up came a thing which said 2,020,000 results. And so I pressed on the first, I think it was a website called Quora, and it said, James Bond's middle name is Herbert. I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. I mean, it seems. So I thought, well, I must check on another website. So I went to an educational website for children, and it said, you know, what is James Bond's middle name? It said Herbert. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm not a great fact checker, but it still seems sort of unlikely, and I thought I'd better try again. Anyway, the next website also said James Bond's middle name is Herbert. And then underneath that, it said source. So you could press on this thing saying source for this. So I thought, well, okay, I'll press on the source. And it said source, Craig Brown. And all these 20,020,000 things came from this joke that I'd done, kind of 7 years before, I think in the Mail or the Telegraph, 15 things you didn't know about James Bond. And I was just saying these silly jokes. I mean, and it was so obviously, to me, a joke. I said things like, James Bond's sister was Jenny Bond, later the royal correspondent of the BBC, and he had a brother called Basildon Bond, who made stationery. Anyway, and you think, well, the world is going mad in this way, because all these things on the internet are referring to themselves, and you build up, and of course there are going to be conspiracy theories, and of course the world, it seems madder than James Bond's middle name being Herbert, when you get someone like Liz Truss being Prime Minister for a month, and you can't say that's any madder than, real life has caught up. Anyway, so this is an inspiration for this book of this heavyweight book of mine. I mean, heavyweight only in terms of its weight rather than its content, called Haywire. And so I thought I'd just do another a sort of variety of the little bits and pieces. As Harry said, I do parodies. quite a lot. This is, I like doing parodies of things which sort of seem unparodiable. I remember once I did a parody of Wittgenstein, so a sort of philosophy. But this is the opposite of Wittgenstein. It's I imagine some of you either commute or go on trains. This is a parody of what you hear on trains all the time, incessantly. In this warm weather, you are advised to keep a bottle of water with you at all times. If you see someone without a bottle of water, please contact a member of the transport police. See it, say it, sort it. Customers found with bottles of water blocking doorways, aisles or vestibules, that's one of the words, may be liable to a penalty. Avoid the toilet in coach D. See it, say it, sordid. Pouring a bottle of water over your neighbour's head may result in an altercation. The first stop will come before all the other stops. The intermediate stops will come after the first stop and before the last stop. If you do not wish to get out at the next stop, then remain in your seat. After the final stop, there will be no further stops. You are reminded to treat other passengers with respect. Poking, pinching or punching our staff and or other passengers is not permitted unless you are exempt, see terms and conditions. In bright, sunny weather, a pair of sunglasses may help to prevent squinting. A woolly hat is not advisable in hot weather. Wearing socks with shoes may help prevent blisters. A baggier shirt is recommended for those with a fuller figure. Brush your teeth twice a day. Remember to floss. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. The early bird catches the worm. Anyway, it goes on like that. Customers wishing to travel on must be in possession of a valid packet of crisps from the buffet. See it, say it, salt it. So that was my... it's often... pick on people less fortunate than yourself, like Barry Humphrey's advice. It's also, I like choosing subjects which are popular figures, so not the normal people, like politicians that people go for. Obviously, everyone loves Mary Berry, and there's nothing at all wrong with Mary Berry, but publishers have a habit of giving famous people lots of money to produce very, very thin books, and Mary Berry, understandably, succumbed to the blandishments of a publisher a couple of years ago and did a book called Mary Berry's Household Tips. And these were some of the tips, or as filtered through my imagination. Cupboards are ideal for putting things in. They generally come with a door or even two doors so they can be shut when not in use. For instructions on how to shut your own particular cupboard, refer to the manufacturer's guidelines. The marvellous thing about a mirror is that it enables you to see your own face in it, looking back at you. She's no stranger to the obvious. A garlic press is excellent if you want to press garlic, but I find it not quite so good for wiping sticky surfaces. Shopping is quite an art in itself. Butchers are wonderful places for finding meat, while vegetables are readily available at most greengrocers. When eating a boiled egg, be careful to remove the shell first, or it can be a little crunchy. I like doing slightly surreal is a very overused word, so I apologise for using it now, but I like making sort of fantasies out of famous people. This is Joan Collins is always publishing her memoirs, almost every year, and everyone's always forgotten that she's already done it, and so they get newspaper serialisations, the same old rubbish every time. And often it's looking back on her marriages. I'll always regret the day I married Mr. Pastry. In those people probably can't remember Mr. Pastry, but anyway, this is another. At the Gare du Nord, I met Struhlpeter, who was to become my fourth husband. I was attracted by his magnificent shock of hair and his hellraiser reputation. The moment the divorce from Mr. Pastry came through, he rushed me to the altar. But Struhlpeter refused to cut his fingernails, so he lacked the tender touch. Au contraire! I can still feel those scratches. Consequently, our wedding night was a disaster, and I was obliged to divorce him soon after. To a young lady straight out of acting school, there's no one more glamorous than a doctor. With his discreet spectacles and his svelte moustache, I felt myself inexorably drawn towards the gentle, soft-spoken Dr. Crippen. But he let me down. It was a tough lesson, but now I know never to fall for a married doctor who has recently cut up his wife's torso and buried it in the cellar of their three-bedroom house in North London. And the final... message from Joe Collins. Today's youngsters simply refuse to listen to advice. I was once briefly married to Basil Brush, a well-spoken TV personality. To the outside world, he was a genial TV personality with an infectious laugh. It was only after marrying him that I discovered he was just a useless glove puppet, entirely under the control of an unseen hand. The same cannot be said of the young today. Au contraire, there are many things today's young do not possess, the chief of which is wisdom.
I'll just do one more, which would be... hang on. These are some little clerihues. Clerihues, for those who don't know them, are invented by Eric Clerihugh Bentley, who happened to be the father of the brilliant cartoonist Nicholas Bentley. I was asked to do some for the New Statesman magazine Centenary. So these are largely clerihues about old lefties. The clerihue, simple verse form, I always think of it as the English haiku. And it's based around the nonsense that can be derived by... The first line is always the person's name, and the sense all comes from the rhyme brought about by the person's name. Beatrice Webb refused to be a Deb. She thought life much lusher in Soviet Russia. A.C. Grayling, atheist. A.C. Grayling has only one failing. Given the green light, he holds forth like God Almighty. I like these odd rhymes. Malcolm Muggeridge gave a thug a fridge. He was naturally contrarian when confronting the barbarian. Alistair Campbell took a gamble on WMD and lost to our cost. Two more. Richard Dawkins favours Radio Talkins. Prof, we're putting you through to God on line two. And finally, J.B. Priestley was rarely beastly. He preferred to sit on the fence of plain common sense. Thank you very much.